Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Dr. Joy Skarka. She is one of the two authors of a book titled Her Freedom Journey, A Guide Out of Porn and Shame to Authentic Intimacy. Now, for some people, it's like, oh, thank God somebody's addressing this. And for other people, it's like, what? You're going to talk about what? This book deals with the reality that there are many women, not just men, who struggle with porn. And most of the resources that I'm familiar with are aimed at helping men with their porn problem. But what do you do if you're a woman? Now, if you're a guy, a lot of our listeners are truckers, and a lot of our truckers are men. Not all of them. We have some lady truckers too. Anyway, there are some people listening right now, and they're saying, oh, well, I guess this one isn't for me. Yes, it is. Let me just tell you right now, because what we're going to talk about is the way that God offers wholeness to all Christians. If you are struggling, whether it's with porn or with some other problem, the biblical principles that we're going to be talking about are applicable to you. But the issue that brings them into focus in this book is that journey to freedom that God is calling you to if you are a lady who struggles in the area of pornography. So tell us, Joy, how did you get interested in this subject?
Yes. Well, thanks, Jim. And you're so right. This is also helpful even for parents listening, because this is an issue that is really impacting the next generation.
Amen.
So for me, I was first exposed as a fifth grader, which is actually the average age of first exposure. So parents listening, this is important. But for me, it wouldn't become an issue until college. And so God kind of took this story and the pain that I've gone through, and he made it my passion. And now I help women and other couples navigate through these issues in our ministry, Authentic Intimacy. And it's just been beautiful to be able to take my painful story and now help others.
Praise God. And as you say, the first exposure is typically elementary school age. And this
it is.
More and more the case today. You don't have to go to a porn store somewhere. It's all around us.
Oh, yes. And your mind would be blown, Jim, on how easily kids can get it on YouTube, kids apps, on Spotify, which is just like supposed to be radio and podcast. They can listen to it. So it's really everywhere. And so that's why it's even more dangerous and important for parents to be aware of how easy it is to access.
Yes. I turned on the radio in a friend's car the other day, and I'd been asked to drop them somewhere and then drive the car back. And I just turned on the radio, and it was one of the most popular stations in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I mean, just it was not some, 103 Satan. It was just normal, popular music with ads from car companies and things like that. And then here's this song that was celebrating lesbian sex and a graphic description of how wonderful it is. And I was utterly shocked and, of course, turned it off. But, that wouldn't have happened not that many years ago. Mm. It would not have happened. But now it's everywhere, and our kids are being bombarded with it. And for a lot of kids, as you all mentioned, this often is something that people get drawn into in as they try and deal with loneliness, as they try and deal with past trauma. My experience has been that oftentimes the women and girls who are most susceptible to this are those who have been abused and who've been through some sort of sexual trauma. And this becomes a way for them of trying to process and normalize, if you will, what happened to them.
Right. Yeah, that was my story, Jim. And sadly, it is the story of so many women. Nobody says, I want to become a porn addict. Like, right. You don't decide that. It starts out maybe out of curiosities, or you have questions about sex. Maybe you grew up in an environment that didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you just have basic questions. Well, you Google those, and the Google and marketing, they know they're trying to target you. And so they'll lead you to it. Mm-hmm. And so it starts out, could be a curiosity, but it turns into that coping mechanism to deal with the pain and the loneliness and the trauma. So we have to dig deep and start working on those things to start the healing journey.
If a person who's listening right now, whether male or female, is finding that this is a struggle, they may not want to admit that it's a struggle. They may think, no, I haven't done that in weeks, but you know, it's still there. It's still there. Does God just write them off? I mean, does God say, oh, you did what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to deal with you anymore.
You know, and so many people believe that if God doesn't love them anymore, right, because of their struggle, and how sad it is to feel that way. Because you know what? It actually causes women especially to isolate because of that shame piece. They remove themselves from community, from church, from friends, from relationships, because they think no one in person and God's not going to love them. But the truth is, God has never left you, if you're listening, and you're not too far gone for his forgiveness. Even if we talk about the gospel and the cross, like Jesus died for us on the cross while we were still sinners, while we were looking at porn. And so he hasn't abandoned you, friend.
Amen. Amen. And that's just vital to understand, because the enemy's going to tell you the opposite.
Right. So, oh, yeah. He'll tell you so many lies that you're worthless, no good, and that's far from the truth.
And nobody could ever love you.
Mm-hmm.
So it isolates you further, and that makes you more vulnerable again to this temptation. Because this right, is a temptation that feeds on isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually called the shame trap. Like you experience so much shame for what you've done that you pull back and isolate, but then it's that same shame that you experience after you look at it that keeps you, oh, well, you know, I'm going to look at it anyway, or I'm worthless. Why does it matter? All these different lies that you're believing instead of understanding your identity in Christ, that you are a daughter of a king and set apart and redeemed. So those are some of the things we help women in our book process through, the lies and actually the truth of what Scripture actually says about them.
Amen. Now, whatever sin problem a person has, they can fall into that same pattern of feeling that because I have this particular thing, I don't dare tell somebody, and I don't dare hope that I can live in community, because if people knew that I struggle with this, then they're not going to want me around. They're not going to want anything to do with me. And it's amazing how when someone like yourself comes forward, begins to share their story, other people say, oh my goodness, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. Somebody else is battling this. And there's comfort and power in that.
Oh, you're so right. And that's part of how I first brought this out, is I was with a group of women at a women's event, and a woman shared her story of how she struggled with sexual brokenness. And gosh, I remember Jim just being like, hey, we can talk about this. Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea Christian women could talk about sexuality. And so it really started the path of me for my recovery journey. And now that's what I'm doing for other women.
Praise God. Well, the work that my wife and I started here in Tennessee years ago is with kids who have a problem, problem in the home that they didn't create. And that can be all kinds of different problems. Maybe mom has cancer. Maybe dad went to prison. Mom's now working two jobs and there's nobody there to really take care of the kids. I mean, there's all kinds of different situations. But many of the children who have come here across the years, been doing this over 30 years, many of the children who've come here have been sexually molested. And sometimes we know that before they come. And sometimes we learn that after they've been here a while and they suddenly decide this is a safe place where I can tell about what happened. But in case after case after case after case, they've gotten a tragic lack of biblical knowledge about the fact that what we teach them is sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. That's a summary statement that answers a lot of questions. Is this okay? Is this okay? What about this? The first part of it is something that a lot of people have never really considered. A lot of Christians have never considered. Sex is designed by God. It wasn't invented by the pornographers. It wasn't invented by Planned Parenthood, certainly. Sex is designed by God, but it's to be an expression of love, not of selfishness. You know, read 1 Corinthians 13. It's to be an expression of love between a man and a woman. That answers a bunch of questions, who are married to each other.
Right.
You know, for years, that's what we taught the kids from 1992 till 2020. That was the summary statement. We still have that as a summary statement that we want all the staff and kids to learn. But in 2020, God told me something that I was not eager to hear. I've been preaching through the Bible year after year, all those years. And the Lord directed me. I was praying about what to teach next. Which book of the Bible do we tackle next? And the Lord impressed on my heart Song of Solomon. And I thought, oh, no, I can't do that. You know, I've taught Song of Solomon at marriage conferences. Happy to do that. But children, how do I teach Song of Solomon in a way that is appropriate for children? I mean, it's in their Bible, but we just kind of hope they won't read that book. And that's wrong. And what God impressed on my heart was these kids are bombarded with lies about sex. And basically what they're hearing from the church and from parents, if anything at all, is just don't do that until you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not everything God has to say about it. And so I prayerfully embarked on a fresh study and subsequent preaching through the book of Song of Solomon. And I think the way that I'm bringing this up, I think it dovetails with your book in that what you are seeking to do in this book is to help people learn what God says about sex and about us, about people, because sex is not some tangential subject, but it's also not the solution to our problems. And, you know, Satan's a judo expert. He'll either try and get us to think that God, you know, doesn't want anything to do with sex. And, you know, he created a man and a woman and put them in a garden together with no clothes on. And then when they discovered sexuality, it was like, oh no, I should have seen that coming. But, you know, instead, this was God's design, but the enemy then twists it. If we start to believe that sex is good and it's of God, the enemy will twist it and try and make it way more central than it really is. And you all address that, I think, very beautifully in the things that you say. May I read one of your statements here from the book?
Sure, thank you.
It says, while God cares deeply about your sexual behavior, your journey toward sexual wholeness must begin with a radical shift in how you see yourself in Christ Jesus. You are not your sin. You are not your temptation. You are not your shame. The journey of growing in your relationship with God is the journey of growing in your faith to believe what he says about you. This is why just trying to stop looking at porn will not work in the long run if you are not also doing the work of exposing the lies you believe. Now, that's substance. That's meaty. in this book, you're trying to help the whole person, not just a particular problem.
Right. Yeah. In part of my journey, people would tell me that, well, just stop watching it, or, you know, focus so much on just the issue. And it got me thinking, we're spending more time focusing on the problem than the solution, the healer. Mm-hmm. And our identity isn't in our struggles, but our identity is in Christ, the one who sets us free from these struggles. So that changed my recovery plan and definitely impacted this book. And Jim, just a thank you too, to all the safe ways that you've created those safe places for those kids who have gone Praise through God. Trauma, and just being able to hear that God did create sex and it's good. That's a game changer for those kiddos. So you're Amen. Doing great ministry.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. When I was growing up in Western Carolina, all the traffic going from east of Asheville into downtown had to go through Beaucatcher Tunnel. Beaucatcher Tunnel was just a two-lane road going through the mountain that separated one side from the other. And right above the entrance to the tunnel, someone had painted, "Don't read this sign." Now, of course, everybody read the sign every time they went through the tunnel because you couldn't not see it. And right. If you tried not to look at it, you were still thinking about it. And again, you all know that approach to dealing with porn or other sin is not going to solve the problem. If you're focused on not looking at porn, you're still focusing on porn. But if you focus on Jesus, he changes you. It's a process. It's a journey. Now, in this book, you talk about Jesus coming to free us from shame. You might still feel shame, but those feelings fail to match reality. Because we have Jesus as our Savior, Redeemer, and lover of our souls, we have freedom. All who become Christians have a new identity declared righteous before God in Christ. That is liberation. And it's true. You know, I've worked with people who were alcoholic, who were drug addicts, who were porn addicts, who were sex addicts, who were involved in all kinds of different stuff. And it's not a method that fixes them. It's Jesus who heals them and changes them. But as you said, if people are looking for that momentary fix, it's not likely to happen. That isn't promised by God. He does change us on the inside when we put our trust in him. We are immediately declared righteous in his sight, but the experiential part of sanctification is a process. Your book is predicated on the idea that people trust in Jesus and receive that positional sanctification, but don't stop there. They're going to move on in the journey and become more and more and more like Jesus. And that means greater and greater freedom from the bondage that used to be ours.
It does. And a common question, just to put this into practical terms, someone will ask us, we do a lot of one-on-one coaching and small groups. She'll say, well, why hasn't God taken this away from me yet? Why hasn't he taken away this struggle? And that's exactly what your answer is, what I say to them. Well, there's more to it. God must want to take you deeper into the healing journey to process through some stuff to make you more like Christ. Yes, God could perform a miracle and it be gone the next day, that struggle of yours. But he must have another plan, a perfect plan for you on this journey.
Amen. Because the thing is, even if you are completely free from porn and you never look at it again, or if you are completely free from alcohol and you never take another drink, or you're totally off drugs or gambling or whatever it is that was enslaving you, if that's all that happens, you might feel enormously relieved, but God is not finished because you still have a lot of areas. in AA, they talk about dry drunks. It's,
right. Mm-hmm.
It's somebody who hasn't had a drink in a long time, but they're still not sober. And God wants to make us whole.
Right. And you know what I normally see is people just trade in one behavior for the next. So maybe you stop watching porn, but then I have a lot of my women who are now binge eating to comfort.
Yes.
And so that's not finding freedom or healing either. So we
Exactly.
really want to help women dive deep, figure out those root issues, and find healthier ways to cope instead of turning to porn. And
Amen.
also by experiencing that intimacy with God. So all these different pieces just help you on your freedom journey.
One of the myths that I think is out there that men and women often fall into, and young people often fall into, is that porn really doesn't hurt anybody. So, you know, what's the problem? And that is a lie on many levels, because porn actually not only contributes to an industry that violates and abuses people, but porn really does damage lives, including the consumers, not just the producers, not just the purveyors, but the consumers of porn are ending up really being hurt by this, aren't they?
Yeah, there's some research that shows that it's linked that performers have to be high or drunk to get through filming scenes all day. So there's one aspect where they mentally have to just check out to be able to do it. Then there's the aspect that it's linked to sex trafficking, which is not good. We could do a whole nother show on that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think the biggest thing you don't think about is those are fellow image bearers of God that you are watching and consuming and selfishly objectifying for your own personal pleasure, when that's not how God calls us to love our brothers and sisters.
Right.
So these are things people don't think about while they're consuming porn, but I think the more you do think about it, might stop it, cause you to stop and pause and really second guess this.
Yeah. And the people who are consuming it are hurting themselves, whether they can tell or not. You know, you may feel like, well, I don't see how that really impacted me. Well, you may not see how it impacted you, but the longitudinal study shows that it is harming your ability to relate to others. It's going to totally mess up. If you're married, it is going to really mess up your relationship with your spouse. And the testimonies of the people who've come out of that industry, and how God has changed their lives, but how damaging it was to be involved in that stuff. It is the people who are promoting that are being used by the enemy to do great harm. And if you are a Christian and you're still flirting with this or struggling with this, or you know you've got a problem, you're not sure if you got, let me just say, this is a serious issue. And I want to, again, recommend this book, Her Freedom Journey, A Guide Out of Porn and Shame to Authentic Intimacy. It's been a pleasure, Joy, to have you on the broadcast. And I hope that people will reach out for this book, because there are a lot more women. I think in your info, it said more than one in three people going to a porn site are women. And of course, many of those started as children. And also, porn is often used to desensitize kids so that they can be abused. Just, I mean, your kids need to know not just porn is bad. They need to know God is good and his plan is good. And if you walk in holiness, that is a fulfilling life. If you pursue pleasure and intimacy in other ways, you're hurting yourself and others. So please, if you've got questions, if you're listening right now, and it's like, okay, I need to talk to somebody, and I don't want to talk to anybody I know personally, you can call us. Call 1-866-41-ABIDE, and we'll get back to you. But please know that you can call out to God right now, because he's listening and he cares about you. Dr. Joy Skarka, we appreciate your being with us. God bless you.
Thank you, Jim.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.